Would you open a Bible with me to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah? I will give you plenty of time to find in your Bibles Nehemiah, where we will be reading in just a few moments from chapter 2. And while you are turning back there, let me wish you a happy new year. It is so very good to see those of you who are able to join us in person. We have guests with us. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We know many members of our church family are joining us online. We miss you. We hope your new year is off to a very good start, and we appreciate the fact that you have set aside this Lord's Day to focus on the greatest reality in all of the universe. And it is my privilege this morning to be able to introduce to you a new focal point, but in many ways, a focal point that is tied to where we have been in 2020. You've already heard the phrase a few times this morning. Let us rise and build. If your Bible is open there to Nehemiah chapter 2, you can see that that is a phrase that comes directly out of that ancient record. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, when the people said, let us rise up and build. I'm going to be back with you in Nehemiah in just a few moments, but I'd like to show you a few verses on the screen before we come back there, particularly about building and builders. The Bible is full of stories of people who built a variety of things. And I think just the next few minutes, hopefully, will serve as a good bridge for us as a church family between 2020 and 2021 as we pause before we talk about the building and we notice how key perspective is in what we are building. And how we are building. And I want you to notice, as we just briefly touch on a few of these Old and New Testament passages, notice with me how important perspective is in whether or not we build in a way that pleases God. You remember that old Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. We won't take the time to read the entire account, but I want you to notice the perspective of those who were building that great tower in Genesis chapter 11. How they said in verse 4, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Notice the perspective. Notice how they saw the world and themselves. They were the recipients, of course, of that generational call of God Himself to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. But these people in Genesis chapter 11 say, we want to make a name for ourselves. And so let's build this city and this tower, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. You remember old Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. He was a builder of some of the ancient wonders of the world. And again, we're not going to take the time to go back and revisit the entire story in Daniel chapter 4. Just notice the perspective of the builder. After 12 months, how he is walking on the roof of his royal palace in Babylon, and he says to himself, is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence for the glory of my majesty. Just two examples. But already I hope you see perspective shapes what we build and how we build and why we are building. Perhaps a much less well-known example is that of Obadiah in the Old Testament, how God uses that ancient prophet to speak specifically to the neighboring nation of the Edomites. And I want you to notice, again, we're not going to read the whole book, but just notice the perspective of those who had built these incredible fortresses. You can still see remnants of them today. Fortresses carved right into bedrock. God in verse 3 said, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who as these builders who said in their heart, who will bring me down to the ground? To which their creator responds, though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there, I will bring you down. Do you remember that rich man in one of Jesus' great parables? A man who had built barns and done very well for himself. So well, in fact, that he was having to tear down what he had in order to build more, in order to accommodate everything that he had accumulated. Jesus used that parable to encourage his disciples of all time to take care, to be on their guard. For us, even in 2021, to realize that life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. And in order to drive that point home, he told a parable about how the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and that rich man thought to himself, what am I going to do? I've nowhere to store my crops. Well, I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. I want you to see this morning, it is wonderful to have the determination to build. And as Roger said, you're going to hear a whole lot about rising up and building, if the Lord wills, in 2021. But let's not forget where we've been. Let's not forget a year's worth of spiritual training and encouragement and wisdom that teaches us how we see the world determines what we build. How we see God, how we see ourselves, how we see God-given time and talents and opportunities goes a really long way in determining whether or not we build in a way that pleases God. Lots of people building lots of things in 2021. The question that I'd like you to have at the forefront of your mind this morning is what I'm building right here and right now, is what we are building as a church family, is what you are building in your homes pleasing to God? In this instance, it wasn't. In this instance, this man's creator called him a fool. Because that very night, his soul was going to be required of him. And now, all of the things that he had built, whose would they be? And then Jesus looks his audience, ancient and modern, even this morning, in a very real sense, in the eye. And he says, so is the one who lays up treasure, does a whole lot of building really successfully, but is not rich toward God. Listen, before we get back to Nehemiah, this even impacts churches. You remember in the last book of the Bible how the Lord Jesus looks at a real life group of men, disciples of Jesus in Laodicea, and these people have been building and they're really, really proud of themselves. We're rich. We've prospered. We need nothing, not realizing, Jesus says. You've got all of this stuff that you've built, but as I see you, we spend an entire year talking about seeing as God sees. Here's a classic example. God sees, in that ancient example, people who are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. And so he wants them to continue to build, of course, but first he's got to work on their perspective. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by the fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes. Notice the last phrase. So that you may see. Here's the bridge between 2020 in the life of our congregational family and 2021. How important perspective is in whether or not we are building in a way that pleases God. Our ability to see how we see, our perspective directly impacts what and how we build. Can you imagine this morning saving and saving for your dream house, and you plan it, you hire an architect, a designer that lays all of this out, and on the blueprints even themselves, it's just beautiful in your mind's eye. And so you save and you plan and you patiently wait, and the builder gets to work, and eventually you come in. It's your dream house that you've been waiting on for so long. And you walk in the bathroom and there's a brand new refrigerator there. And you look at the builder and say, you know, on the blueprint, this was supposed to be a bathroom. And he says, well, you know, I've got a different perspective on what ought to go in bathrooms. And so I put your refrigerator in here and I put your commode in the kitchen. And you go out to what's supposed to be the garage, and it's open air. And you say, look, here it is, the blueprint right here. This is supposed to be a garage. And he says, well, yeah, I know, but I've got a different interpretation of those blueprints that you gave me. And I thought it would be really great to build an open air garden. Look at all of the tomato plants you could put in here. Okay, but that's supposed to be a garage, and it's right there on the blueprints. And you go into the master bathroom or the master bedroom, and you know it's right there on the blueprints. This is supposed to be painted gray. And you talk to the builder, and he says, well, you know, isn't that just a matter of interpretation? You interpret gray one way, I interpret gray another. And you say, well, I hear you, but that's pink. You see, perspective, how we see and what we see directly impacts what we build. Could I introduce you to Nehemiah this morning? Maybe you've already been introduced to him by Roger and his very good class that he has just kicked off. If you've not already watched lesson one in Roger's new class on Nehemiah, today is a great day to do that. Spend time later this morning, this afternoon, this evening. Sit down and watch that introduction. Roger, Lord willing, over the course of the first quarter of this year, is going to be taking us through Nehemiah, and you need to know that story. You need to know that text. You need to be a student of that book this week, this year, because Everything we're going to be talking about in 2021, in many ways, is built on this ancient book. And one of the reasons that this man is such a worthy example of study and imitation, listen to me, is his perspective. And I'm not going to spoil anything. I just want to show you a couple examples of his perspective. Is your Bible still open there to Nehemiah 2? Look at verse 8. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 8, where the king grants Nehemiah what he asked. And I want you to notice in the next few minutes how different Nehemiah's perspective was from the builders of the Tower of Babel and King Nebuchadnezzar and that rich builder of bigger barns. The good hand of my God was upon me. And I want you to notice, as we look at these few perspective verses, how Nehemiah sees God. But listen to me very carefully this morning. That does not mean that Nehemiah is just going to sit back, okay, God's got this, I'm going to just float through life. No, he believes with all of his heart. He sees with eyes of faith. The good hand of my God was upon me, but Nehemiah was willing to ask. Do you see that? God had a part. Nehemiah had a part. He believed God's good hand was upon him, but he was willing to step up and ask the hard question. Stay in Nehemiah 2. Look at verse 20. The God of heaven will make us prosper. But I want you to notice, we, his servants, will arise and build. God's got this. He's going to make us prosper. Now it's up to us to arise and build. Look over in Nehemiah chapter 6, a few pages later. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15, where he documents for us how this wall around Jerusalem, Nehemiah 6 verse 15, it was finished in 52 days. And when all of our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that the work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Even pagan nations around them believed. I want you to see, even unbelievers were made to see something about this amazing God. But do you know what it took in order for unbelievers to see that? It took God's people being willing to stand up and do the work of rebuilding the wall. Go back with me to Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14, where Nehemiah encourages his discouraged people. Nehemiah 4 and verse 14, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember that the Lord is great and awesome. That's who he is. Now it's up to us to fight. You see, it's not either one or the other. It's both. God is great and awesome, and so we're gonna fight for our brothers and our sons and our daughters and our wives and our homes. And so Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, this wonderful, well-known summary statement, we built the wall and all the wall was joined together to half its height. How in the world was the wall of an ancient city rebuilt in just 52 days? Well, he gives us the summary halfway through the project. Here's how it happened. The people had a mind to work. even this morning, if you've paid attention to what we have been singing, God provides heavenly Zion, New Jerusalem, the city of His prepared people. What are we being called to do? We're being called to march in step with our Savior and King. God's got this, but He's calling us to march. We've sung this morning how God leads us through the sea of doubt. We've got to be willing to stand like Joshua. God has promised, we've sung this morning, a robe and a crown to the faithful. But we've already sung what it means to be faithful. That's a reward for our labor. And in many ways, that describes this little booklet that you received, hopefully, on your way in. Would you take a moment with me just to look very briefly at this booklet? I'm not going to read it to you. The reason that we put it in your hands is so that you can take it home and use it as fuel. Use it as a framework. Use it as the encouragement to do exactly what we're talking about this morning. To believe that God is great and awesome, and it's time for us to rise up and build. And so you see on page 2 of that booklet where we've been. We've talked a lot in recent years about being heaven bound. I've talked with you already about 2020. Our perspective. Look at that little yellow box at the bottom. As a new year begins, we haven't given up. We've not given in. Rise and build is the spirit that will drive us this year. Better ways to teach, more opportunities to grow, forward looking. We refuse to let the troubles of the past hold us down and defeat us. We remain heaven bound, and with a clear vision from the scriptures, we will do more than get by. We will rise and build. Look at page 3, what we'd like to accomplish this year. A new and fresh approach to Bible classes with more involvement, stronger marriages and families, more participation in teaching, serving, and leading, a closer and stronger church family, a greater engagement in spreading the word worldwide, greater faith and deeper commitment among all of us. Listen, God is able to bring that about. But not if we just sit in the rubble and long for better days gone by and wait for somehow things eventually to get back to normal. No, our God is great and awesome, and He's calling us to be marching on our way to Zion. You see, page 4. Calendar of events. Roger already encouraged you to note these. There's a variety of ways we're putting them in your hand this morning. Put those things on your calendars today. Before, Lord willing, hopefully those calendars begin to get more crowded than they were for the last 9 months of 2020, build around these events designed to help you be the people God would have you to be. On page 5, you can see that in our first quarter of the year, you're going to hear a lot about rising up. Let us rise up is our theme for this first quarter. Second quarter, having a mind to build. What's that look like? We're going to talk about it. On page 7, third quarter of the year, when the work is hard. You study Nehemiah with Roger and you're going to see that's not a sugar-coated account of, well, we put our trust in God and now we're just cruising and we're not even hardly having to do anything at all. No, the work was hard. What do you do when the work is hard? We're going to talk about that. Lord willing, last quarter of the year, we'll talk about building where it matters. And the rest of this booklet, in a variety of ways, shows you, gives you a preview of some practical things we're looking forward to make that vision a reality. My encouragement to you this morning is, let us We're going to go back and we're going to study some other Old Testament examples, some New Testament examples. But my encouragement to you is, let's make this personal. Let us rise and build in 2021 with God-shaped perspective. Listen to me this morning. We are a part of the church built by Christ. If you're a disciple of Jesus this morning, you are a part of His church. He's the builder. He's the designer. He's the architect. This is all about Him. Let's build with that perspective. This is all about Him, pleasing Him, honoring Him, glorifying Him in every way. But I want you to notice with me again on the screen. Notice carefully the language breathed out by God in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. You've heard this passage before. As you come to Him, as you come to Christ, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you. We're not talking about ancient walls around an outdated city. We're talking about people. We're talking about you this morning. You yourself, notice the present active tense. This is a 2,000-year-old letter. And in the amazing wisdom and design of God, in the present active ongoing tense, His people are being built up, including this church family. This very morning, as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so, as we experience highs and lows, as we experience frustrations, and we experience great victories, if the Lord wills, in 2021, I want you to remember this perspective. The church in Corinth was very much a work in progress. Lots to build there. But Paul, in both the first letter and the second one, reminds them, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. We're appreciative so much for the work of our shepherds in guiding us, in encouraging us, in holding us accountable, in casting this vision for us. But this is not about them. I am very appreciative for the work that Roger put in, hours worth of work into this booklet. But it's not about him. It's my privilege to stand before you on this first Sunday of a new year. But this isn't about me. This is about our Lord, who is great and awesome, and answering His call to rise up and build. Before we're done, would you open your Bible with me one more time to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is where we will leave you this morning in our study of God's Word. Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul, in communicating with disciples of Jesus whom he loved, said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Do you see that? Why? Let's make sure everyone in this room and everyone watching online understands. Why in 2021 commend people to an ancient word? I mean, why not fill this with all sorts of pyrotechnics and free handouts and car wash coupons and go-karts out in the parking lot? And I mean, why don't we just get this whole thing kicked off with a bang? Why in the world draw attention to the fact that we're boasting in the Lord and we're commending people to the word of His grace? Just this past week, I ran across a New York Times article from April 2011 related to the devastating tsunamis that had taken place in Japan less than a month before. I want you to listen to the first couple paragraphs of this article. The stone tablet has stood on this forested hillside since before they were born, but the villagers have faithfully obeyed the stark warning carved on its weathered face. Do not build your homes below this point. Residents say this injunction from their ancestors kept their tiny village of 11 households safely out of reach of the deadly tsunami last month that wiped out hundreds of miles of Japanese coast and rose to record heights near here. The waves stopped just 300 feet below the stone. One village leader, 64 years old, said, they knew the horrors of tsunamis, so they erected that stone to warn us. Hundreds of so-called tsunami stones, some more than 6 centuries old, dot the coast of Japan. Silent testimony to the past destruction that these lethal waves have frequented upon this earthquake-prone nation. But modern Japan, confident that advanced technology and higher seawalls would protect vulnerable areas, came to forget or ignore these ancient warnings, dooming it to repeat bitter experiences when the recent tsunami struck. The flat stones, some as tall as 10 feet, are a common sight along Japan's northeastern shore, which bore the brunt of the magnitude 9.0 earthquake and tsunami on March 11th that left almost 29,000 people dead or missing. Specialist in the history of natural disasters said the tsunami stones are warnings across generations, telling descendants to avoid the same suffering of their ancestors. Some places heeded these lessons of the past, but many didn't. And here is a writer for the New York Times essentially making our point for us this morning. Those ancestors knew what they were talking about. They had learned the hard way. They had left markers behind them. Don't build past this point. But you know, in 2021, we know better. We're more enlightened. We're smarter. And so we ignore the markers. And we suffer the consequences. Lord willing, in 2021, you'll hear a lot about rising and building. But in everything we do, let's pay attention to those ancient landmarks. That's why the Apostle Paul said, and that is why the Spirit preserved for us, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, because it's able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all of those who are being sanctified. I wonder if you need to respond to the word of his grace even this very morning. That is a part of our work, to encourage you, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, to look in the mirror, to hear from the Lord, to hear about righteousness and self-control and coming judgment, and make sure you are prepared to meet your God. If you want to be a worker for the Lord and you're ready to take the first step in being reconciled to Christ this very morning, by turning away from sin and being buried in baptism in his name for the forgiveness of your sins, what a great way to start off this new year. If you want to be a worker this morning, but you need prayers. In many ways, perhaps 2020 has been a kind of tsunami in your life. And for a good long time, you've put on a mask, acting like everything's okay, but it's not okay. We want you to understand that a part of our work is day by day, week by week, telling you we're here for you. Can we help you? Can we pray for you? Can we work on your behalf even this very morning? If there's anything we can do, would you let us know how by coming to the front while we stand and sing together?